Hey, welcome back. I am Jeff. This is the Meat House, and I am joined with my good friend Chris.
How you doing?
This has been a long time coming.
Yes, it has. And I'm really glad to be here for it because I really enjoyed what I heard in the past.
Yeah, and thank you guys for hanging out, joining us again. There are a lot of things to go around here because we've been gone a while. I've been gone a while. That is my fault. To start, I need to thank our previous Patreon members that provided funds, and the folks over at Castos, are the podcast distribution network, because thanks to those two, I have been able to resurrect the legacy backlog of old Meat House episodes. There are now, I think, over 200 episodes on our website
That's what I saw.
that are available for you guys to enjoy, and that has been brought back and available to you guys. In that vein, I also, of course, need to thank my previous co-hosts Ryan and JD, who started this thing out and were there with me for years and years, and who you can still enjoy their legacy content now, even as we're getting new content started here. The other big thank you I need to throw out is Box and Barleycorn and Jake of the crew over there. They are sponsoring the new incarnation of the Meat House, and we will have some links in the show notes for how to get in touch with them. They are I'm not the kind of person that is eager to get corporate sponsorships, anything of the sort, but Box and Barleycorn is my local homebrew store. They were the first homebrew store I went to, and they are one of the longest running homebrew stores in the country. I think they've been in operation since like 1968.
Yeah, that's right. I looked that up specifically to have that information at hand. So yeah, they're the only place I've ever been to, and they are generous with information. They virtually have everything you need all the time. If not, they can get it reasonably quickly. So Jake and the people there, they do a great job.
Yeah, just Jake has taken over after Jackie decided to retire. Jackie, of course, great guy. Breadth and depth of knowledge that is incomprehensible in the industry. I got to work for him for a while when I was moonlighting there myself, and ton of fun. I am really happy to be sponsored by them. I don't know if you've noticed as much as I have, but homebrew stores in general seem to be going
Away.
away.
Yeah,
Home
absolutely.
brewing, to an extent, like craft brewing, kind of going away. I'm going to throw this out here. If you don't have a homebrew store near you that has a great community you should be involved with, probably give Box Barleycorn a try. They are easy to talk to. You can give them a phone call or an email to ask questions. Happy to help. They are very competitive with their prices as far as the unnamed super mega website that is killing prices for every other business on the planet. And yeah, we'll.
And plus the fact they don't just do mead, they do beer, wine, cheese, kombucha, anything fermented, they have it.
Absolutely.
And so, you don't have to just do what we do. You can find your own niche there, and they'll help you with all of it.
And not only fermenting now, they also do some distilling equipment. Not that that's legal in any state but Missouri, and it's only decriminalized in Missouri, but hey, it's
Yeah. But
you.
I'm thinking about getting a distiller simply to have distilled water for my garden. I mean,
It's getting distilled water cheaper for the my various needs, like the CPAP that I have upstairs, and I've started trying to grow mushrooms, and you need distilled non-chlorinated water for that too. That's
they can help you with that too. I mean, they're great guys, and they've got what you need, and most importantly, they have the information you need, and they're very free with that information. They will help you step by step with whatever you got going.
No, and if I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I am kind of a know-it-all. And if I've had an experience where if I came to Jake with a question and he didn't know the answer, he at least has the wherewithal to say, "Hey, you should look here, where to know the answer to get the difficult question." Am I rambling? Yes.
A little bit, yes. That's okay. Well, let's start with introductions. Now, you may know Jeff from previous Meat House, but I'd like Jeff to go over his past as a maker of mead and things, and give it, people that are maybe new listening now, information about what he does and his background.
Sure. I got started making mead, I think it was back in 2012, which has been, that's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. I have not been a continuous mead maker that entire time. I've kind of taken some breaks, especially recently when, got the new house and had did some,
and life.
Renovation. And yeah, no, and there were a couple month gaps in there between batches, even at the height and the thick of things. But that's this is a fun hobby. This is a hobby that I'm getting back into and enjoying, and I have gotten a lot out of it, not only mead making, even though mead making has always been my focus, my interest, the big thing that I'm really into. Yeah, I've tried to brew just about anything that a yeast can ferment in that process. I am a BJCP mead judge, so I've done a fair amount of judging in that circuit. And not going to claim that I'm the greatest at that, but I enjoy the hell out of it. And it's a lot more fun to me to judge a competition than to enter a
Well,
competition.
I'm actually going to stick in here because I've talked to other judges at the one event I went to that was a steward at, and they actually appreciate the level you bring. It's not that you're not good at it, it's just that you may not be the greatest, but you're more than competent, and they're glad you're there for it. So don't sell yourself short on that. You're good.
Let me be humble, damn
No. Besides, you're not very good at it. But you don't just do mead. You do beer, you do
Cider,
cider.
wine, and the hybrids of those. I mean, Pyments are fun. You may hear the slight hum of my Anvil Foundry brewing system here because as we're recording this, I'm showing Chris how to make beer by making a braggot, which is a beer mead combination. And we're actually, if we have the time and the wherewithal, we're gonna party gal this and make two beers tonight so that I have a this is gonna be a wheat wine, and we'll talk about that. And then the other one's just gonna be weird. But we're covering the fact that I'm not sure this is gonna work the way I want it to by using honey to get the extra gravity that I need here in both cases. So we'll
I didn't realize this was such an experimental batch, so okay, great.
I mean Yeah, a lot of what I do is experimental just because, hey, let's try this and see what happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name's Chris, and I have not, and Jeff actually got me into this. He goes, "Here, try this." And I did, and I was not the brightest tool in the shed because sure, I'll do this. So I got myself a 7 gallon bucket, a gallon of a syrup, which happened to be blackberry, and I made a 7 gallon batch first try. Now, I do not recommend this to anybody starting with their first round
One.
because that, if I did anything wrong, despite the fact Jeff was on my speed dial, if I did anything wrong in that and I ruined it, I was out a 7 gallon batch instead. I could have done a 1 gallon batch and learned roughly the same process with less financial, emotional, physical damage to myself than trying to pour out a 7 gallon bucket of failed mead.
And let's be honest here, even the cheapest, like good quality honey you can get, like the Costco 5 gallon bottle, ain't cheap. That's
No.
like $15 for 5 gallons. That's
Yeah, that I would have thrown out
you're
just over $100
five
worth
pounds.
of ingredients.
Exactly. That said, I've been doing experiments in little small batches for a long, long time. When I was working at the box of barleycorn, Jackie used to tease me, it takes almost as much effort to make a 1 gallon batch as it does to make a 5 gallon batch.
Yeah, the difference is the cost.
When you know what you're doing, that's true.
Yeah.
But so many experiments, I did not know what I was doing. I was like, I wonder what happens if I do this.
And to my credit, and Jeff's more than mine, my first batch came out really good. And actually, it's become my signature batch. It's a blackberry vanilla mead, and I truly enjoy it.
Which I think that brings us indirectly to tell us a little bit more about yourself as we get to what we're drinking.
Okay. Well, I've been doing mead for about 8 years on and off, mostly off. I was off for a while until my daughter got married a little more than a year ago. And the year before that wedding happened, she goes, "Dad, can you make your mead for my wedding?" So I actually made a 14-gallon batch of my blackberry vanilla for her wedding. And that's what got me back into it. And since then, I've made quite a bit. I mean, I've got seven kinds in a bottle right now and six more kinds in a bucket right now in various sizes, 1 gallon, 3 gallon, and 2 gallon. And I'm looking at starting another batch. I'm looking at making apple pie mead and my first blueberry mead and a black currant mead coming up very soon here. So I'm learning as I go, and I've met wonderful people. I'm going to bring up that Jeff, he didn't really strong arm me because I actually did want to go, but he took me to an event called the Valkyrie Horn early this year in February. And it was a meet competition, and he was a judge there, and I signed up to be a steward. And I am here to tell you, if you have the opportunity to go to a meet competition and be a part of it, do it.
Absolutely.
Insane level of fun. We actually recorded our thoughts and everything about the competition we went to after that, and it'll be in our archive.
Well, we will release that sometime soon as a bonus episode. Yeah. Yeah. I need to find that again because it's
But I highly
this.
recommend it. It was a lot of fun. It was worth every bit. Now, what we're trying here is actually my blackberry vanilla mead. It's a sweet mead. I don't use fresh. I don't use the fresh fruit. I use the syrup from Vintner.
Yeah, the Vintner's Harvest blackberry. It's you make a fruit wine with a 5 gallon batch, and you've added honey to that,
I know how to do
obviously, to
that.
make this a mead.
I on this batch, I added about 4 pounds of honey per gallon.
That's a lot for a base that's already full. How was
Well, it
this?
started at about 18 and a half, but it ended up being a 14.3. So give me your thoughts, Jeff. You're the resident judge.
That's nice. This is sweet. There is a little bit of the, it's got that the tannic acidic finish that makes this, makes it an approachable sweet mead. To me, if it's too cloying and like it just kind of sticks and lays on your tongue, that's not great. The blackberry is what kind of saves this for being drinkable to me because it is sweet.
Yeah.
But
Oh, in our defense here, I'm a sweet mead guy. Jeff's a dry mead guy.
yeah, and if
So
you
we have vast differences in what we enjoy in meads. In my opinion, if you're going to take all the sugar out of mead, why did you put honey in it? Jeff likes a dry mead. And there is crossover. We each like a little bit of the others. This is a very sweet mead. This is almost a dessert.
Yes. It's as far as body goes, it's fairly light. For a sweet mead, it's not like a thick, syrupy kind of a texture. It's still a light. This is lighter than most of the red wines that I've drank too, I would say. It's kind of in that heavier Chardonnay kind of a body, I would say. And the like I said, I really enjoy the that little acidic bite right at the finish, that finishes it nicely. The vanilla is there. Vanilla is such a weird spice just because it is everybody's best supporting player, but it hardly makes itself known.
It's supposed to be a background character, and I make my own extract for it. The extract I used for this was actually at the time about 4 years old. I started it in 2020, and I put it in the batch at just the beginning of this year, and so it's had a nice amount of time to age in the bottle. This is from it, so it's doing well.
So let's talk about the meat house, the new meat house.
Yes,
Meat
let's.
house coming back. What we want to accomplish with this as podcasters, because this is going to be a little bit different than what we were used to with me and Ryan and JD for the longest time. At the moment, my audio setup doesn't really include phone calls. We can't take calls or do interviews with people across the country, but that's not really where my interest is laying at the moment anyway. I'm getting back into this hobby for making mead, having fun, and enjoying myself with people that are like-minded in my area and things like that. But the concept I have in my head is kind of documenting my getting back into mead making and trying new things and experimenting in this hobby. And by the same token, documenting Chris and his getting into mead and learning about it and kind of refining his technique as a conversation between two friends.
Yes, I am the newbie. I mean, I know I did my first batch like 7, 8 years ago. I get that, but I've also never a I've never had Jeff far from my phone when I need help because I've had questions. I've had so many questions. I'm a rookie. I'm new at this, and I fully admit that. I have had the pleasure of meeting a lot of really great mead makers that have given me outstanding advice, and but I am the guy that's going to try to ask the questions that you'd like Jeff to be asked. Jeff has a phenomenal, field of knowledge in this field, and he's one of the smartest guys I know. So I'm going to try to make it as clear as I can for you because Jeff, no offense, you'll tell me how to build a clock.
Yes, I will ramble, and I will ramble onto things that are both obscure knowledge and not necessarily relevant to the topic. What I like about having Chris as my co-host here is that he has less experience in this field. He is enthusiastic as hell in getting into mead, as he You can probably surmise from the, I have six batches here and seven batches there, that he just described as far as what he's into right now. Yeah, he's jumping into this with both feet. He's new to this, but he has worked with me for a long time in other endeavors. We know each other well. We kind of riff off each other very well. And he, I think, has the wherewithal to go, "Hey, Jeff, stop for a second. You just said this. Let's break that down into the steps that we need to go, hey, describe this a little bit more. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to use that?"
What does that do?
Right. Because I am guilty as hell of being under the assumption that, hey, we can gloss past this because that is understood by everyone and not
No,
necessarily the
it's not.
case.
It
No.
really isn't. There's nothing in this. Nothing I have found in mead is a given. The only thing given in mead is it's made with honey. That's it. That's as far as that knowledge goes. After that, everything needs an explanation. And we're here to give you that. Now, the goal, in my opinion, the goal of the podcast is to make mead fun for you to make, to give you the idea and basis to make your own outstanding, wonderful, sometimes horrible combinations. I mean, I've had a mead that was made with avocado. And I've had one that was bad to a horrible degree. And I've had one that was actually really pleasant. And I was sitting there going, I can taste avocado, but I'm not offended type of, and I was shocked.
Have you had avocado honey, by the way?
I have not had avocado honey.
It is tasty. It is worth trying. It is not easy to find,
No, of course not.
but
But another thing I'd like to do over the course of our podcast, I'd like to give you information on honey is not just honey. When we were at the Valkyrie Horn, the guy had 96 types of honey there, and they tasted different.
Yes, Adam's Mead Library was awesome.
It was incredible, and thank you for remembering the name. I did not, but I'd like to go over things. If you're trying for something specific, there sometimes there's a specific honey that can help you with that.
Yeah. Now, there is nothing wrong with the Costco $15 for 5 pounds training wheels. That's what I've called it from the start, what I continue to call it,
And that's I use that a lot. That's
yeah.
I get mine from a restaurant depot store, and it's just basic honey. It's probably even a blended honey from various countries, and that's it's fine to start with.
Yeah, there's
If I want
nothing wrong with that,
to, no,
but
it's fine.
you can elevate your game, and we will talk about all kinds of different ways that you can mess around and tweak your recipes, your processes. We are inviting you to join us in this conversation between two friends as we explore and learn more. And that is the nature of this podcast. That is what we are here to do. And like I said, this is a conversation between two friends first and foremost, but we want to have fun with this. We are exploring things together. It's a little newer for Chris. It's a little strange in some of the directions I want to go. As far as other goals for where my direction wants to go, I like the idea of having a few kind of on tap recipes. Like, you probably got to meet Carvin at Valkyrie's
Yes, I
Horn.
used to
Yeah.
get.
Apparently, from what I've heard, anytime you go over to Carvin's house, he has it's like a cucumber, lime, and jalapeno mead on tap, carbonated. And I've had it. I think it's great. But it's just like, it's that thing of like, his friends come over to his house. They know they can always get a glass of that to enjoy.
Carbonated cucumber.
Cucumber, lime, and jalapeno.
Okay. I'm not really big into hot pepper, but I'll give almost anything a try.
It's not spicy. It's just a little jalapeno, as I understand it.
Okay.
It's an F
Awesome.
ton of cucumber.
Yeah, I
I've
bet.
seen photos of it, and it's like
Well, he uses actual vegetables. Okay, cool.
So yeah, no, he has a set mead that his friends come over and they know they can get a glass of this anytime they want. I like the idea of having a portfolio of a few things that are always kind of consistently there and good and repeatable. My quality level, where I tend to fall flat, is I don't repeat very well.
And I'm getting closer to my repeats, but it's a struggle. I mean, I've actually followed the same recipe twice in a row, and it worked. It wasn't the same meat,
No.
and I have no clue what happened. And I'm
Right.
trying to figure that out.
Note taking is important as a first step, but you gotta be very
Particular. I
and
mean, there's not enough. You cannot take enough notes. Period.
now
Copious note taking.
let's preface this here. I like to talk shit on macrobreweries all the time. But the one thing that I will give them, the fact that they hire some of the best of the best in the field of microbiology. If I, here in a suburb of Kansas City, go to the grocery store and I buy a case of Bud Light, and then on vacation in Denver or in Seattle or in St. Petersburg, Florida, I buy a case of Bud Light.
It's the same thing.
They're going to taste the same.
That's impressive.
It's not just that they're bottled in the same area either. They're not.
And but, you know, I used to take that for granted until I started making my own mead. I'm sitting here, okay, you know, to my incredible delight, every batch I've made of blackberry vanilla has gotten progressively better. Mm-hmm. But it's not been the same. And I'm sitting here.
That is a level at which I am aspiring to have consistent, at least like, you know, 90% consistency, right? It doesn't have to be perfect, but it needs to at least be recognizable as the same thing and pretty goddamn good.
I'm going to ask this question, and this is completely off topic from this point. Are you making anything right now?
I have, well, we're talking about probably another bonus episode right now. We have the bracket that I'm making, that I'm brewing with you. And then I also have a starter batch that we will be talking about, that I've already got brewed, and we need to do like the finishing steps to get it to final flavors and bottles and things like that. That is a 3-gallon batch using some beautiful wild sunflower honey that I got from Nebraska. It's coming in kind of watery right now, and so I'm going to have to get into the, you know, the secondary tweaks to get that. It will probably need a little bit of back sweetening. I would like to see it with some flavor added. I'm leaning on lemon zest and lavender, but I might go a little stronger just because it's very weak. It tastes watery.
It's almost no flavor in it.
Right.
It's so mild it should be neglectful.
And like I was telling Chris before we got started filming here, the good part about it is that, you know, this is an 8% ABV.
Yeah, it's solid.
And it tastes like water. It doesn't taste alcoholic at all.
Yeah.
It's a very clean ferment. But it's a little too clean, and there's a little not much else going on with it, which is weird. So it needs more to it. It needs a nice, even a flavor, a light flavor punch. I would like to see it, I think, carbonated. And I have in my my thought process now, maybe this time of year, that I want it to be kind of a, hey, it's cold today. I need something light and refreshing to remind me that spring is going to be here in a few months. And I can just chill and be happy about that. And it reminds me of spring.
And I'm kind of have a different mindset. When I'm thinking this time of year, and we're very, very near Christmas right now. I'm thinking about making something Christmassy for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a good time to do that.
That is a good point. And this is another one of my failings as a consistent mead maker, is underestimating the amount of time it's going to take things to age.
Yeah, you can't hurry that process.
No, I consistently I tend to think about, oh, well, if such and such event is 3 months away, I can start this then. And
you can have a solid mead in 3 to 6 months.
Yeah,
you can do that. It will be better in 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the recipe that I'm going to be including here for a starter mead in, you know, a few episodes, be patient with us, that will, I've used a derivation of that recipe to make a pretty damn good, what was that, pomegranate lime session mead in 9 days.
That's impressive, Zach.
And a day of that was just flavoring. It was not pomegranate. It was hibiscus lime.
Okay. I've got a pomegranate going right now, and a dragon fruit, and an arona berry.
Sure.
No, I was asked to by a farmer. That wasn't showing up. That was simply, here, do this. Okay.
But yeah, that included a day for adding the hibiscus and lime flavoring and a day for carbonating. So you can make good mead fast, but it also can take a lot more time than I have been giving myself time for. Beer is in that same boat. And like right now, what we're working on is a... this is going to be a wheat wine bracket, which is, wheat wine is already very high ABV for a beer style, and I'm making it even worse by adding honey to it. I think I'm going to add some Gardner Bees Melter honey that I got from one of these competitions too, just because it's going to be a darker brew, I think.
Now I'm, I've already touched on my. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 going right now. One is a mixed fruit. I call it my freezer fruit meat because I saw a whole bunch of frozen fruit in the bottom of my freezer. Been there for a year or so. Didn't know what to do with it. They were like in like 8 ounce packages, and I threw them all in a 2 gallon bucket. Threw in some honey. Threw in some water. Hit it with yeast and the rest of my nutrients, and off it went. It's very mild. It's very pleasant. Can I do it again? I can get close. I know roughly all the amounts that were in there because I know the amounts in each package I had. Another one I had is a blackberry sage. And I've got the pomegranate, the Rhona berry, and the dragon fruit. I also have a, I'm trying to finish off a peanut butter mead. I'm going to finish it off the last phase with dark chocolate. So a chocolate mead,
I
not
mean,
peanut butter.
that sounds like an interesting concept. Peanut butter is not something, it's one of those things that I've always been kind of like, it's three quarters of the way down on my to-brew list. It's not all the way there, but it's there.
Okay, I'll be honest. My wife challenged me. My daughter is a trained chef, and my wife says, "Hey, can you?" And or worse of all, "I bet you can't." Oh my goodness, woman!
Well, and like I'm going to throw a reference to one of our good friend Sap House here. When we had Ash on the show ages and ages ago, we talked about a mirepoix mead, like a mead made with roasted vegetables.
I know you
That's
couldn't see that, but I shook my head really hard because I was trying to get that to go in my head.
Yeah, he had a shock of disbelief kind of thing, and it is not a mead that was made to be drank. It was a mead made for like cooking, deglazing a pot.
Oh my God,
But
never
it's
even
made
thought of
with
that.
roasted vegetables. And even Ash says that, hey, there's one or two people that actually just like it as is. But that is one of those, it's another one of those things that, like, I could do that. That'd be fun. I just never got around to it. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm gonna bring up, we have a website.
Yes.
We have a Facebook page.
www.themeadhouse.com. We have a Facebook page.
And they are
Search
works in
for
progress,
The Mead
both of them.
House. Yes, they're small affairs, but this is where you go to get the content. You can reach out to us at themeadhouse.com, at our Facebook, The Mead House, or info at themeadhouse.com
And we will
for email.
answer anything you have to the best of our ability. And I want, I'm going to wrap up this particular episode now. I want to thank everybody for coming. If you're coming back, great. If you're new, welcome. I've got several friends in Europe that have been looking forward to this. Switzerland, England, just friends I've met over the years. They say, "Oh, yeah, I'll listen to that." And I'm saying, and hopefully they'll start their own meets. This would be fun.
Yeah, the mead community in Europe is blowing up these days. I studied in Czech Republic and Poland an age and a day ago, it seems like, and didn't even know about mead at the time. And now, like, I'm seeing the big mead museum in Prague, and I'm seeing all these Polish mead makers like having bigger mead conferences than even the Mazur Cup, it feels like.
Sounds like a
And
pilgrimage to me.
yeah, no,
Yes,
let's save our ducats and turn them into to some zlotys, and we can
let's take a tour, a boozy tour.
Yeah.
And I would like to at some point visit meaderies or wineries even in the Midwest
Not
because we have really good ones.
we have a lot of wineries in the Midwest. I don't know about meaderies, but there are definitely
There are a lot on the East Coast, though. I know that.
East Coast, and there's a number on the West Coast too, especially like California and the Washington area. But yeah, there's so much we could be doing.
Yeah,
And
and I want to do as much as we can. I want you to join us in our journey here to making really good meads and make your own really good meads. I mean, it's a game of patience and perseverance, let's be honest, because the science is easy, the execution is a little bit harder, but it mostly involves patience.
it's patience, it's practice, and it's awareness and taking notes. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's 90% of the game.
And we are going to, on our next one, we're going to go through and we're going to go talk about equipment. We're going to talk about your first mead. It's going to be a basic mead, 1 gallon batch. And I've actually, the question that's come up to me is they said, "Why would you only make a gallon?" I said, "Okay, there's the amount of investment you have into it, but why 1 gallon? Because you're just starting. It is something, and don't get thrown. You're going to get 4.5, 5 bottles out of that gallon of mead."
And that's 750 milliliter wine bottles. You could do almost 10 12-ounce beer bottles.
Yeah, and you're not wasting your time. You're actually making something that you're going to enjoy, and you can enjoy a fair amount of time. But that'll be our next show. And Jeff, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this adventure with us.
Chris, thank you for joining me. Let's raise a glass to mead and the mead making community, and onwards and forwards, my friend.
Absolutely. Take care.